Welcome to episode 5.5 of The Rink. I'm James Tapelake Graylian, along with my co-host, Tom Luongo, from NHL Fan House. In episode 5, we are talking to Steve Lepore from Puck the Media. You can find his blog at puckthemedia.wordpress.com. Steve keeps an eye on the New Jersey Devils and also on the hockey media. We continue our conversation talking about the New Jersey Devils. Now, were you, Steve, were you at the Devils game, the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7, 2003? Were you there?
No, I was not. I'm a little too young to go to head down to the arena at that point.
Apparently, you're calling me old because I was there.
And... Yeah, well, not that old because,
ouch.
Well, I was 13 when it happened, okay? At, I was 13 years old. I woke up the next day. The puck strip at Dorney Park, okay? that's how young I was.
The great part about all of this is that I have I have my own personal trifecta of evil, which being an Avalanche fan, of course, is the Detroit Red Wings is the top of the triangle, Vancouver Canucks, of course, and oddly enough, the New Jersey Devils are kind of fit in there because of that 2003 Stanley Cup final. It wasn't even Avs versus the Devils, so. It kind of puts me in an interesting position whenever I talk about the Devils, because while we're looking at Martin Brodeur, arguably one of the greatest goaltenders to play the position, at the same time, then I like to always, of course, bust on his chops.
Well, everyone does, because he slept with another woman, and no one else has done that before in the history of man or in the history of the NHL.
I think it has more to do with that ridiculous defense
he might be. To be fair, he married his sister-in-law. Okay, he already got married to that girl last summer. Okay,
that's true. That's true.
But you know, let's talk about the boring, the great defense and the boring.
He's got a wonderful defense in front of him. It's always
well,
been
he
coached
did.
That way.
Yeah, he did. That's
actually HF boards to save me. And what will I think a great statistic that will really help Marty's legacy, because when Marty Brodeur retires, or even when he breaks this record, there's going to be a lot of debate about Marty's legacy and Marty's place among the greatest goaltenders of all time. And while Scott Stevens and Ken Danico and Scott Niedermeyer were on the Devils regularly up till 2003, so that Stanley Cup year, Marty got a shutout once every 10 games. Since Scotty got injured and Niedermeyer left and Danico and Stevens retired, in 2003-04, since then, Marty has averaged a shutout in every 9 games with Paul Martin and Bryce Salvador as his top pair defensemen.
Yeah.
And if that is not tribute to how great a goaltender Martin Brodeur is, nothing else.
You can't argue with that.
I wish he'd been playing in front of this defense years ago. We wouldn't need to have this debate.
Nice. Very nice. No, there's no question. I'm not one of those people that will give that will take anything away from what Brodeur has done. It's I've watched him enough times. He's a absolutely top goalie. He's one of the best goaltenders I've ever watched play.
Who right now would you take over him in one-on-one game 7, biggest moment you can possibly imagine? Who in the league right now would you take
Nobody.
Over?
Nobody.
Absolutely.
Hasek 7 years ago?
Hasek 7 years ago. See, Hasek is an interesting point of debate. Hasek's time where he dominated the league is relatively short. If you look at it, he dominated maybe 6 seasons, you know?
Right.
And all this is thanks to the fine, accurate folks at HF Boards for giving me all my research. Marty has just been so consistently good. So, not even consistently good, consistently excellent for so long. And the statistics are just mind-boggling at some point, and they become tiresome to read. I think he's going to go into his 40s. I think
really?
if he's playing 70 games at age 36, I'm sure he could still go at least 40 in at age 40 or 41.
The question is whether or not he wants to go that long, I think. And obviously,
he does have to live up to the contract.
Yes. Well, you know, we'll see what happens. He has 4 years left on his contract. Yeah, that's right. The no, the interesting thing about Brodeur is that he's been no doubt absolutely consistent about, you know, during his entire career. But Lou Lamoriello has been very smart in that he's always built the team to best take advantage of Marty Brodeur, and the coaches that he's brought in, and there have been many, have always been there to implement the system that best takes advantage of Marty's admittedly prodigious talent. So it's, you know, no goaltender, you know, is that consistently good for that long if the team is not trying to build themselves around that goaltender for that long. So, but I mean, in terms of his ability to understand when it is that he needs to make that great save, I still see it 9 times out of 10.
And, he can face 13 shots and you'll still see maybe one or two saves that maybe won the game for the team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's that time. He has a tremendous sense of timing.
And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make this call right here. I'm going to make this prediction right here. When the 2010 Olympics start in Vancouver in February of 2010, the first game that Team Canada hosts, Marty Brodeur will be the starting goaltender. I'm going to predict that right now.
I don't think you're really going out on a limb, you know. It's
he's going to start in front of Roberto Luongo's home crowd in Vancouver.
I don't think you're really going out on a limb there.
I don't know.
How much?
Well,
he's,
some people, a lot of the pro Luongo crowd would say that I'm going out on a big limb there.
Well,
that a 38-year-old Marty is going to start over Luongo, but I think it's going to happen.
I think it'll all come down to who's playing the best hockey at that moment in time.
Yeah,
and I don't doubt Brodeur's ability to rise to the situation.
No, he's wildly consistent. I can't imagine that he's going to be.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of shift gears just a little bit because Tom and I, of course, have been accused of having an East Coast bias. And
what, the guy from Colorado has an East Coast bias?
Apparently. It was news to me.
I think the problem is that James refuses to let his Colorado bias show. And
it's a credit to him as a host.
I feel like
to me. I feel as opposed to me, I wear my slug on my sleeve. So
I feel like when I'm kind of lumped in with the Toronto media as having East Coast bias, you know, that it's I don't know if I should wear that proudly or not. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, that's not an East Coast bias. That's a Toronto bias.
That's true. That's true.
Talk about Joe Sakic. You're allowed. He's as consistently excellent as Marty Brodeur.
Yeah, exactly. You have Joe Sakic. Be proud. Have a little man crush.
Look, I think he's great, but the only problem is that they call him quoteless Joe for a reason, you know? But I do want to talk to you about the media and about Versus.
Sure.
The you track the media all. That's kind of your focus, which I want to find out about. I mean, how you got kind of involved with that, and why that kind of became your focus, and how the media reacts to hockey. But Versus has been with us a few years now. Ever since
the season. Can you believe that?
It's hard to believe. They've made some great improvements, especially from that first season. I remember back to that very first game that we saw was just almost unwatchable. But
the Rangers Flyers game, and it was Sam Rosen and John Davidson calling the game. And
right.
And you know that off the top of your head, and that, sir, is why you are here.
That is why I cannot get a date and then interfere with doing this interview.
So does that mean that now we're stumping for you, ladies, if you want to call into the show? Set you up with a guy. He's talked to Joe Beninati.
Listeners to the show.
He's talked to Joe Beninati. Yeah, that's a winner with the ladies.
ladies, read my interview with Joe Beninati.
Yeah, tell me that you're not a lady killer.
Who, by the way, is a great guy, I should say. Very nice guy.
He sounds it.
Well, fourth year of Versus, tell me what you think. What do you think of the job that they're doing?
I have a very love-hate relationship with Versus because I think Versus is absolutely necessary. I think it's great that we have a cable network that considers hockey its number one thing. But the problem is they don't consider hockey its number one thing enough. There's two nights. It's two nights a week. And a half an hour post game show.
Mm-hmm.
That's whereas compared to what MSG and MSG Plus do in this area, where chances are 5 or 6 nights a week there's a game on. There's always pregame and post game, And they have a one-hour hockey-devoted show every Saturday night. But if MSG and MSG Plus devote that kind of time to just three teams, why can't Versus devote more than two nights and about 3 hours worth of time to its number one sport, to the thing that it's paying $70 million a year to cover?
Mm-hmm.
That's my problem with Versus, is that they don't do enough. And there's space there. In between all the bull riding and the hunting shows and the fishing shows, for them to do a little bit extra.
So what would you like to see out of Versus? Would you like to see a nightly recap show?
I would like to see two things. I would like to see a nightly recap show, and I would like to see them at least broadcast. You remember Cool Shots?
Yes.
Right.
I would like to see them. And Cool Shots is still going on. It's still on the NHL Network, as far as I'm aware of. I'd like to see them start airing Cool Shots once a week. If you're going to promote the game, if you're going to grow the game, grow the sport, you need something there every week to, you know, show off these athletes when they're not on television, not on the ice, you know?
Actually, one of the things they can pull from the NHL Network now that I think about it is the Best of the Hockey Show that the NHL Network shows on Mondays, on Saturdays.
I would love to see the hockey show go on Versus, and it would make sense for them.
Right.
It's relatively cheap to produce. They get all the footage from these other teams' websites and all their stuff. Most of the hockey show's content comes from all 30 teams and all their video sites.
And it's Gary Milbank, so it'd be hard to argue.
Yeah. Yeah. And why isn't Gary Milbank reporting on Versus Telecast? By the way, watch the Hawks Wild game tonight. I think you will enjoy the lady that is reporting on the game tonight.
Yeah, I caught that earlier. I caught that earlier. I just went to your site right before we called you. Yeah, the five things that we're going to note from her tonight are her eyes, her attributes, and her smile.
The five things I said were that after watching the Blackhawks Wild game, the team of 18,000 will go home and release their own team of 18,000. Which
that's enough.
Depending on who you are, you're either going to really enjoy that joke or really hate that joke. But a debate between Lindsay and Eddie Olchek on whose hair is prettier.
Nice.
Chris Simpson fearing her imminent replacement by a younger, prettier woman storms in and starts a catfight that will likely be much more interesting than anything going on in an early season Chicago Minnesota game.
I would love to see the catfight.
Burrish using his experience from the Jerry Springer Show to stop it.
Outstanding.
Patrick Kane's long-awaited initiation into manhood. and more erections in American living rooms than when Bob Harwood is reported. Which, nothing against Bob Harwood, but, you know.
Not really a man's man, is what you're saying.
He's not really up my alley there.
Yeah, and I don't think so.
Lindsay Soto is her name, and she's apparently never done hockey before, according to all the research that I can compile on her. But, you know, Aaron Andrews started out knowing nothing and doing hockey, so.
And we did it well.
I think something like this is good for the league. Why can't we have our own little mini Aaron Andrews phenomenon, you know?
I think would it be good for the league? I don't know. Not for the married men. That's
wrong.
Well,
wrong.
For those of us who stay with our girl,
I do. I wasn't
looking at anything, honey. No, just interesting replay.
Isn't
there.
That a great report on Patrick Kane there?
Just because.
Quite innocent. Did you know that he had a dog?
All I'm going to say is just because you're on a diet does not mean you can't look at the menu. And that's the end of it.
Oh, God. That's going to be something to watch for tonight in tonight's game. I think that post has given someone a reason to watch a Blackhawks Wild game this early in the season.
I have to agree. Heartily.
So we've got looking at the Versus schedule, and they've got the Monday, Tuesday night games. And they're doing Monday, Tuesday through the entire season, which I think is great. I'm a fan of the Monday game, considering I have Monday as my night off. But
I prefer they go Tuesday and Thursday, to be honest with you, because Monday is Monday Night Football. Wednesday of the basketball on ESPN. Thursdays there's basketball on TNT, but there's so few games that you can – but there's only TNT games, so – if you don't like the game that's on TNT, you put on Versus and you put on a hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right.
But now, doesn't CBC have an exclusive with certain providers and networks have exclusive nights? Like, doesn't CBC have Saturday night exclusive?
In Canada, yes, but I think that they're giving that up with the new contract. I think that was one of the stipulations of the new contract, is that Canadian teams can broadcast games that are not on Hockey Night in Canada mm-hmm. on their local television stations.
So considering right. that yeah. Versus does takes hockey seriously. I mean, they're paying enough for it right now, considering their budget. I mean, a chunk of change to, let's say, ESPN would be a lot smaller in the grand scheme of things, but still to Versus, that's a lot of money. So you have a network that is taking your hockey seriously and taking the NHL seriously enough for two nights a week. Then I guess the question is, you know, like, why? What about ESPN? Does the NHL really need ESPN at that point?
Well, you know, ESPN needs something. They need something on the scale of ESPN. Like, look at what baseball has with putting some of the playoffs on TBS. TBS is a major cable station that gets into 100 million homes or whatever, and people know it from the Braves games and whatnot. And they drew, with Game 7 of the ALCS, the biggest audience for baseball on cable ever. So I think we need something on the scale of ESPN. If we have to go back to ESPN, then whatever. But I'd like to see them keep it on at least Versus and maybe another channel, you know, mm-hmm. another channel that would carry a game. Like, HDNet was great for that. I'm so disappointed that HDNet is no longer carrying hockey, because they would do a game on Thursday and Saturday, and they would do a show before the Thursday night game. Ugh.
Right.
And it just annoys me that the NHL let that go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that ESPN actually wants the NHL back? I mean, I've heard conflicting reports. I've heard Buchergrass say yes, and I've heard other people say, eh. The real question is, are they willing to pay for it? Are they willing to do other than say, well, of course we'd like to put you on our network for nothing, and you can, you know, be thankful that we'll give you whatever you want? Or should we expect more from ESPN than that?
See, the thing is, I think they're interested in getting the NHL back just so there's no more competition whatsoever. Because Versus, at some point, there'll be another round of negotiations for, which is realistically not that far away, for, you know, MLB and NBA and such stuff like that. And,
right.
you know, maybe one of these days the NFL will give up on the NFL network and finally give Versus that package of games that the whole cable dispute is about. You know that whole NFL network Comcast dispute is because Versus offered them $400 million a year to carry those Thursday and Saturday games. And the NFL said, thanks, but no thanks, and put them on the NFL network.
Wow, no, I didn't know that.
Imagine what a world it would have been if Versus had rights to NFL games.
Wow.
Yeah.
Versus would be in 100 million homes now.
Right.
Because Comcast is that powerful.
That's pretty impressive. Is that something that you feel the NHL is banking on, that Versus is going to carry that kind of swagger and
power?
The NHL
is kind of hoping for it, because they get a bump in rights fee payments if Versus adds another major sport.
Oh, and IndyCar
does not count as another major sport.
And suddenly you're advertising the NHL during NFL games.
Right, that's the big thing.
Just how well that works on NBC.
Brandon Coburn during an NFL game.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see if the NHL gets any advertising time during the Super Bowl this year, because the Super Bowl is on NBC.
Hmm.
And that would be pretty big for this league if they could get any kind of spot at all during the Super Bowl.
That's true. Now, I've always heard that that they kind of shy away from advertising other sports during their, you know, the NFL won't accept hockey in, because why would they want you to be watching hockey when you could be watching the NFL? But I think that's more pure speculation than actual marketing savvy.
My phone is close to running out of the battery again, boys, so if it cuts out, you'll know why.
Okay.
But going back to my point about ESPN does not want Versus to have any sort of clout. They want to eliminate all the competitors, leave Fox Sports Net as a necessary evil because of the regional stuff that they have, and acquire everything. I guarantee you that if ESPN got back the NHL, we'd be seeing games on ESPNU and ESPN Classic with the big games, quote unquote, on ESPN2.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe those first two games of the finals on ESPN, but we'd go back to being treated as a seventh-class citizen on ESPN2, which isn't any better than being a first-class citizen on Versus. IndyCar realized that. IndyCar moved to Versus, where they're now basically a second or third banana to us, but they had their own time slot. It's not IndyCar is kind of the proving ground that being an eighth or ninth banana on ESPN is not at least not as desirable as the first or second thing somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But so, ESPN, yeah, I think, and ESPN's programming guru, I forget his name, but he has stated that he wants to get the NHL back.
Mark
ESPN
something
loves hockey, and I think hockey wants to be on ESPN, but there are the obvious monetary factors that you're not going to get $70, $80 million from ESPN. It's just not going to happen.
No. No, not for this. And especially, it seems sometimes like part of the problem is current management in ESPN, or I mean, and current management at the NHL.
The current management in ESPN is fine with hockey.
Mm-hmm.
It's the management of ESPN that was there in the 03 by the 03-04 season, and during the lockout that was there. That administration was not receptive at all towards the sport. That was the administration that canceled NHL Tonight, reduced most of the games by the end of the package to ESPN2, and, you know, have left Steve Levy to be an annoying SportsCenter shrew instead of the world's worst NHL play-by-play announcer.
Right.
I've been looking back on some tapes of Steve Levy called games of NHL hockey. Oh, boy.
Mm.
If you people have a problem with Joe Ben and I, just, you know what, go back to ESPN and listen to Steve Levy call again.
Now,
your
interview with Joe Benanati, I checked it out this afternoon before we did this, and I found myself nodding in agreement, saying it's taken me a while to get used to him, but he has become one of my favorite regular play-by-play guys in the league.
The people who are working on Versus care about the game. That's the point.
Yeah. They do.
And, you know, and it just shows in the way that they present themselves. You know that Doc Emrick would rather be calling minor league hockey than, like a Game 7 of the World Series, or that
right.
Eddie Olczyk loves the sport, or that Brian Engblom loves the sport. Even though they may not be the best at what they do, Brian Engblom, that comment is specifically for you, but they have people whose hearts are in the right place at this point. And until Jeremy Rohn retires and replaces one of them, it's going to have to do for now.
Right.
You know, at this point, who's better than Doc Emrick in the sport? Who's better than Eddie Olczyk in the sport?
That are willing to actually work a national game? Very few. Beninati is really good. I think Randy Hahn and Drew Remenda out in San Jose are outstanding.
I love Randy Hahn. Hahn to do an interview next.
Oh, Randy Hahn is fantastic. And actually, as a play-by-play guy, I really think Rick Peckham down in Tampa does a great job. I hate the
he does a good job when he's calling a neutral game.
Yeah, he's not even. I don't even mind him calling the Tampa games. But as it stands, I think he's got a great. He's got a great cadence, and I think he's simulcast on the radio. And of course,
Ralph
Rick General.
Yeah, Ralph isn't bad.
Yeah, he's not bad. I can't stand
him. I kind of wish he'd show a little bit more emotion, but...
Yeah, he's not that.
These are a great team.
So I got to ask you, thumbs up or thumbs down on the new Brian Engblom haircut?
Over the rug that was on his bed.
It was a heck of a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. He does, work in Colorado, doesn't he?
He does now, yeah. This was, I think, last season was his first season with them. Yeah.
Yeah, Engblom is kind of, you know, he's the epitome of dull hockey analyst, but what can you say? He loves the game.
Yeah, he does.
And he played on one of the greatest teams ever, and, you know, maybe we should have a little respect for him for that.
A little. The hair, it was hard to get past sometimes.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that.
Absolutely.
Because the worst color guy in the entire league is Dennis Podvan down in Florida, and he might be one of the greatest. Yeah, he's horrible.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
Like he's like a stoned version of Rick Jeanneret doing
comedy. Oh, no. Don't you get on RJ, boy.
I'm not saying that Rick Jeanneret's bad. I'm not saying he's bad. Oh. I'm just saying the vocal stylings. Oh. It sounds like Rick Jeanneret after smoking something a little funny.
And being completely clueless. That's my biggest problem with Podman, is he's completely unprepared. As a color guy, you should never sound like you're unprepared. And that's my biggest issue. When I start critiquing play-by-play or just color guys in general, it's their lack of preparedness that bothers me. What I really love about Han and Remenda out in San Jose is their almost encyclopedic knowledge of the other team. Not just the Sharks, and that's what sets them apart.
What the good ones are. That's what when I spoke to Doc Emmerich about a year ago, and the preparation the man does is just—it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, he's really good. So, and I think it's a lot has to do. Excuse me.
If you listen to their telecasts and not be annoyed by them for like obvious reasons, if you can sit through their telecast, you know you're annoyed a little bit when they go a little louder than they do for the other team, but whatever, they're paid for the team. If you can watch their telecast and not sit there just completely bewildered at whatever it is they're saying, then I think they've done their job.
I can be even just impressed. I Chico Rush bothers me, but Mike Emmerich is good enough that you don't even have to be in the room, and you know exactly what's happening. Listening to him on the radio is fantastic.
I'd love to hear him go Vin Scully and call a game on his own once in a while. I'd rather hear Doc on his own than the five or six people they have on the air during that NBC broadcast.
Oh, now it's unfortunate.
And the NBC broadcast is baffling too, because it's a combination of three really great broadcasters in Doc and Eddie and Pierre, and it manages to make all of them completely impossible to stand.
Yes. It's a really impressive feat, actually.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my.
Well, you know, one of the things that bothers me, I think, is especially about national coverage, and ESPN used to do this a lot, too, is that they just don't call the game. They spend so much time talking about everything else except the game that's really what we wind up resenting.
That's definitely the network's mandate, though, that it has to be all People magazine stories all the time.
That's one of the things I've always hated about versus myself is how it seems like about halfway through the game, they seem bored with the game. And how do we expect a hockey fan or even a casual hockey fan, somebody who's come across, to be engaged in the game if the announcers aren't?
It's really difficult. That's why you need people like Emmerich and Razor and Daryl Ray and Ben and Adi and people like that who are just all the time excited. And I think there's been sort of, in sports broadcasting, there's been a trend away from the guy who gets really excited. Like the only exception to this, obviously, is Gus Johnson on CBS, who is going nuts at every 3-point shot that whatever Palookaville College, saying. But there's been a trend away from the passionate, always excited broadcaster, and I think that hockey needs to be the first sport to buck that trend and go back towards guys like that.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. I would certainly feel like we could get a little bit more engaged in what was happening with the game itself.
Even someone who maybe doesn't scream all the time but shows how passionate they are, like Jim Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Houston is a great example of how a broadcaster cannot, go nuts at every play, but you hear his passion through the call of his game.
Okay, now Jim Houston is my epitome of the high quality Canadian broadcast, of the high quality play by play guy. He's imminently prepared, and he's got a great voice. He has a tremendous
unlike the lead play by play commentator of that other Canadian network who sounds like a frog. I will get into my hatred of Gord Miller very soon on the blog.
Yeah, I don't like Gord Miller at all. But yeah, Jim Houston should be the face of. He really should be the face of HNIC and it's really important that they understand how the game is played, and that's why they can manage their enthusiasm, and they can manage their pace and their tension and release that give and take. It's that's what makes Houston such a great guy, and the other guys that we've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, there needs to be. It's not a more excited broadcaster, a more passionate one, and I think we've seen all sports, you know, sort of trend away from that.
Well, I want to finish this up on kind of an odd note. I want to find out what you think. What do you think about Don Cherry? Do we need him back for the Stanley Cup Finals next year?
Oh, you know, why not? He's saying things that people will listen. No matter what he says, people are going to listen because, you know, he's gained, so even among the non-hockey fans, sort of a cultish sort of celebrity over here. As, you know, a racist, badly dressed John Madden.
Nice.
So, you know, why not have that? Have him spar with Barnaby. Why not?
Wow, now that would be quite something, him Matthew and Barnaby.
Matthew Barnaby has done himself into the news lately. In USA Today, he's in there today talking about how chances are the Stars are already tired of Sean Avery.
Right.
Matthew Barnaby is talking about how people are tired of Sean Avery. Isn't that irony in its purest definition?
Yes. And they go after, they cover that very, very quickly into the article. Matthew Barnaby says the one difference between himself and Sean Avery is that his teammates liked him.
Right. Yeah. Matt's always good for a good quote. Even if it's not accurate.
I hope he does well. I certainly hope he does well. On ESPN.
I've heard him. He auditioned for Jim Lorenz's job at Buffalo, and he actually did a fair job as a color guy. So I think with time, he'll get better. Yeah, the first couple of times he was on the air, it was a little rough, but he improved within the context of even one game. So there's a lot.
ESPN is kind of beefing up their hockey content as well. They have Pierre LeBrun writing there now. And to the same extent, Versus .com has started, you know, adding gas to the mainstream website, adding bloggers. But I'm saying the Versus is adding guys like Dater and these other writers, and they're making themselves worth reading. If you get people willing to read the website, chances are they'll be willing to watch the game at some point.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, it's just a matter of them being able to find Versus on their cable network.
It's not easy. I had a hard time with it when I was in Tampa. It's that's the only bad part at this point for me.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, Steve, thanks a lot for coming on. I'm sorry that we didn't really get a lot of talk about your blog itself, but of course, it's as far as this incarnation of your blog, it's pretty new. It's Puck the Media, and it's at puckthemedia.wordpress.com. Is that correct?
You got it.
Do you have anything interesting coming up?
Right now, it's kind of just a by the seat of my pants kind of blogging right now. But I'm trying to get my get some formal ideas in.
And you've got some live blogs coming up. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Starting in November, we're going to start live blogging pretty consistently.
Well, Steve, we're going to have you back on. This is you have too much good stuff.
I'll make sure the phone is charged next time.
Nice.
Next time
they
come on.
Excellent.
Cool. Thank you so much, Steve.
Anytime, guys.
Take care now.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for listening to episode 5.5 of The Rink. Special thanks, of course, to Steve Lepore from Puck the Media. You can find his blog at puckthemedia.wordpress.com. You can find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com. You can find my blog at jerseysandhockeylove.com, and Tom's work can be found at nhl.fanhouse.com. You can always email us at rink@rinkpodcast.com, or you can call us at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. Thanks a lot, and we'll have another episode on Tuesday of The Rink.